This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. The financial consequences of COVID-19 have forced many businesses across the country to close their doors for good. One of them, here in Chattanooga, is Starline Books, the city's only independent bookstore. Star Lowe is the owner. Star, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And I am sorry to hear about Starline Books.
It's been a couple of months since I've spoken to anyone about the shop other than family and friends. So I guess with COVID-19 happening and sort of coinciding with troubles at the shop, I was able to fade to black and not really talk about it with the public, which is, it has been easy for me, but not something that I had wanted to do. I had wanted to go out with my community around me, particularly those who have supported me nearly 5 years, and have a closing sale. And don't want to call it a party, but a thank you celebration for letting me be a part of my bookies' lives. And that didn't get to happen. So other than a post via social media and a letter I sent out to my folks, that was how I signed off. It's been interesting.
Where do things stand now with the location and whatever books you still have?
I have my last day in the physical space. Moving out inventory was July 11th, but the last day that the shop was open for business was St. Patrick's Day. I was fortunate in that I was able to return quite a bit of the shop's inventory to publishers and distributors. I do, however, have a large amount of inventory that's sitting in a garage that I wasn't able to return. And my plans with it are, I've donated quite a bit. I'm happy to say I was able to do that. What I will do with the remaining inventory I have will be to take it to McKay's and sell back some of that inventory in hopes of recouping a bit of monies to pay off the dregs of my SBA loan. And what they do not wish to purchase, I'll donate.
And how many years did you run the bookstore?
Almost 5 years. We almost made it 5 years. I say we. When I say we, it's me, myself, and I, and my loyal bookie community. Almost made it 5 years. But prior to the opening at the end of August in, was it 2015? August 2015. I had done about a year of work to get it, well, longer than that, maybe a year and a half. When I came up with this cockamamie idea to get as much knowledge about the industry as I could, and then of course to procure an SBA loan. So about 6.5 years I've been immersed in this side of the book world. I have always been a reader. I can't remember not.
And you were in business at a time that, even before COVID-19, was very difficult at best for independent booksellers.
Right. I came in, I moved to Chattanooga in 2012, and there wasn't an independent bookstore in Chattanooga at that time. Rockpoint Books had closed 2 years prior to me moving to the community. I've always had an indie close by, if not in my community, a short commute. I can't remember not having an independent bookstore to go to. So when I moved here, I was missing that, and I didn't have anything to do with myself. And I'd come out of education and didn't want to get back there, and was wanting a way to enter into the community, a way to contribute to my new home. And that just one day thought, I kept thinking somebody would open one. I waited around for a couple of years. I thought the market was ready for one. I just didn't think it was going to be me that had to do it. I was waiting for somebody else to go, hey, we need an indie. And I was going to be, you know, their first customer. But that didn't happen. So I did. That's how the bookstore came to be. It was born of necessity, selfish necessity. I needed it. And I love Chattanooga. I love the people. I love the spirit. I love how it feels like its own. There's Memphis, there's Nashville, there's Knoxville. But Chattanooga has its own, vibe, sort of like it has its own microclimate. You know, it's and super progressive and green. And I knew there were readers out there. There were a couple of box stores, Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. So I knew there were readers in the community and some really good established used bookstores. And there was a little indie up on Signal Mountain, Wild Hare. So I knew there were bookies in my community. So I thought, if I build it, they will come. But, you know, the demographics seemed to be great. On paper, everything looked good. The numbers looked good. And I thought, yeah, well, I can do this.
What have you heard from people as you have put the word out?
It's interesting. Before I closed, my bookies knew I was struggling. And that's a term of endearment for the folks that have found me and supported me from the first day to, you know, any time during the 5-year tenure that we come back, those folks that I know by name. They knew I was in dire straits prior to COVID. And I had a brain trust that I had put together. And my bookies were trying to help me keep the toehold that I had. And they knew it was going to take more than them. So I feel like they've been battling alongside me. And of course, they were super sad. But the beautiful thing about it was a selfless sad as far as the reading component of our relationship, because they, like me, know that we can support independence in the region and across the country like we always have. Where we can get our books and where we can feel good about getting our books hasn't changed. And oh, please don't let it change. Please, USPS, we have to have the post office. Independent bookstores need the post office. But the beautiful thing was that they sort of released me. They saw the toll that it was taking on me, and they were grateful that I was fighting this fight for them. But they said, okay, it's time to let go. So that has been such a blessing for me to be able to say they know I tried my hardest, because I've continuously beat up on myself about the closure of the store. And I'm married to an economist who has told me before day one that if this venture doesn't work, it has nothing to do with you personally. If the market won't bear you, the market won't bear you. There have been so many times that I just wanted to sock him in the puss for saying that. Because I know that. My head knows that. But my heart kept thinking, I'm just not working hard enough. I'm just not trying hard enough. You can't be complacent in any business, but particularly in the book business, where every Tuesday is drop day, a new release day, and it's constantly evolving. So you have to constantly be evolving. And we're in the age of instant gratification, and we want it. If I get on the Scarlet Letter and I'm a Prime member, I can have it tomorrow. So I knew I was going into this. I did not have rose-colored glasses on. I knew I was going to have to offer so much more than some businesses have to. Tap dancing as fast as I could, but I just couldn't keep up with the tune.
I know that you said in putting out the word online, you have faded to black, but if people want to reach out to you online and show their love, how can they do that?
I still have my Instagram post up, and I do have my email, star@starlinebooks.com. I still check it regularly. I've been in the slow process of pulling down social media. It's been hard for me to let go of some things. It's been hard for me to let go of social media in particular. So, yeah, if you want to say, hey, if you didn't know it, there's still a few folks who I'm sure, because of these crazy times, that shop with me annually as opposed to weekly. That, yeah, oh my gosh, I didn't know. Yeah, drop me an email. I would love to tell folks, like I have been telling as they've been reaching out to me, where they can go to support independent bookstores. We have some great ones in our region that they're taking care of me. And I haven't completely ruled out another iteration, but it won't be for some time. I'd looked at going in a nonprofit direction and put the word out there. If there is anyone who wants to pick up the torch that I'm still holding out, pass off, I am here to advise and counsel and cheerlead and support and contribute in whatever way I can. Chattanooga needs an independent bookstore. They need it desperately. And any way I can help, I am more than glad to do so.
Okay. Star, thanks so much for all that you have done here, and whatever you figure out to do next, please come back and we'll talk about that too.
Okay. Thanks so much, Ray.
The Money School is going virtual. This year's series of financial education classes from Chattanooga Neighborhood Enterprise takes place online from Wednesday, September 9th through Saturday, September 12th. Chelsea Smith is with CNE.
Chelsea, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Remind us what the Money School is, what the Money School does.
Money School is an initiative that CNE puts on every year, and generally we have an event in April, which is Financial Literacy Month. But this year, COVID forced us to postpone the April event to this September, and we have decided to take the full thing completely virtual. So instead of having 15 in-person classes, we are having, it's about a dozen online classes presented via Zoom, and the entire virtual event is free of charge. And the idea is to put out the knowledge and information regarding financial concepts and services so that folks can feel more financially empowered and make smarter financial decisions.
Tell us more about the concepts and how they may have been adjusted given the circumstances we're all now living in.
Initially in April, we had a slate of topics that basically covered everything related to money: budgeting, spending, investing, financial planning, credit, mortgage education, all of it. And generally, we would have our instructors who are money experts from all sorts of financial institutions and community organizations throughout Chattanooga. They were going to come and present in person. With things kind of turned on their head, we're still offering similar topics. We're offering the basics, budgeting and spending and investing, what we're losing are, we did have a set of team-based topics so teams could participate, but since we've gone completely virtual and these Zoom classes will be presented during weekdays that they will be in school, we have eliminated that content. But we're going to power through, and we're going to have the instructors, they're going to present through Zoom with CNE as moderators, and it's going to do our best to get the same financial information out there, just online.
And this is going to be the first time that you will be hosting a multi-day virtual event.
Yes. CNE, we've had a couple of brief Q&As in the evening that are related strictly to our mortgage lending service. And those have been, you know, maybe half an hour long, but this is going to be a multi-day thing. So it starts Wednesday, September the 9th, and it's through Saturday, September the 12th. And we'll be doing Zoom classes. We're doing basically four classes a day, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then one class on Saturday. They're going to be, a couple of them are around the lunch hour, and then a couple of them are right at the end of the workday. You just have to check the Money School website for specific times and topics. But yeah, it's going to be basically 3.5 days of total virtual learning.
Tell us more about the one-on-one virtual counseling.
Our regular Money School event always offered sit-down one-on-one counseling. We didn't want to lose that as part of the virtual event, so we have recruited a handful of counselors from various community organizations and from our own, and we are going to be taking appointments to do one-on-one virtual Zoom counseling sessions. And we're offering three types of counseling: mortgage assessment counseling, credit counseling, and financial management counseling.
What have you heard from people in the community in the past few months and as you have been preparing for this event about what they're dealing with and what they're hoping to get out of this event?
Well, I think that everybody's dealing with a lot. When it comes to finances, obviously the world shut down for a good bit of time and people are struggling now and they need the education, they need the knowledge to help them, you know, right their ship. And that's really what we're hoping to get out of the event, is that people feel like they can attend these classes and get the answers that they desperately need right now. We also have been hearing excitement. You know, we're living in very much a virtual world now. I mean, everything is done online. People are working from home and they're taking Zoom meetings, and kids are staying at home instead of going to school, and they're doing their classes from their couch. So I think folks are excited that instead of just throwing in the towel and saying we're just not doing it this year, that we've decided to take it virtual and give them the opportunity to still learn. I think we're really excited about it too. It's a brand new format.
How are you all operating?
The majority of our organization is still working from home. We have a couple of folks that do more. Their job is a lot more community-based, so they thrive off of that face-to-face contact. So those folks are still in our office. They're having meetings with their clients, and they're doing it as safe as possible, following all the recommended protocols. But the majority of us are still working from home, and it's been interesting. But we're still productive, we're still getting work done, and doing the best we can.
What inspires you to move forward as an organization and with an event like this, given what everybody out there is dealing with and given what you're all dealing with at CNE?
What inspires us, it's always been the same. COVID hasn't changed that. The problems that our organization strives to address were pre-existing. They weren't new because of COVID. So I think it's always been our goal to create strong, stable neighborhoods. And to do that, you have to have strong, stable families. And part of stability is financial safety and security. And doing these classes is a way to get there. So I don't think our inspiration has changed. We feel passionate about making sure our Chattanooga neighbors are thriving and living in vibrant neighborhoods. And this is one way to get there.
And where can people go online for more information?
For more information and to register for each of the Zoom courses, they need to visit www.moneyschoolcha.org.
All right. Chelsea, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots. The pandemic has impacted our lives in so many ways. It's sometimes difficult to remember life before. But one bonus, and I think it is a bonus for most of us, has been the opportunity to share virtual house concerts with so many talented singers and players and writers. For the past month or so, we've been sharing some of the shows streamed on the Mountain Spirit Facebook page. the Mountain Spirit acoustic series, long presented in the Isis Music Hall in Asheville, North Carolina, has moved from the hall to the screen all this summer in a series curated by Louise Baker and Bruce Swan from Baker Booking in Asheville. The online shows double as a fundraiser for the series and as a showcase for the performers who would have been playing in the theatre. On this afternoon's Scenic Roots from her home in Portland, Oregon, this is Anna Tivell.
I like to imagine you guys out there in your own at-home areas doing this for a little while with me. I really appreciate it. Let's see, I'm going to play a song. Feels like it speaks to this moment and so many moments for the past 400 years. This one's called Black Umbrella. Let me know if the sound needs to be turned up or down or anything. Keeping to yourself, and the rain came down like diamonds on the sidewalk where you stood. Another lonely town across the endless Bible Belt. Nothing big enough for headlines ever happened here until today. And looking like a stranger in your older brother's coat, you were watching from the corner as the day slowly unfolded. A ringing bell against the door of Frank's savings and loan, and you saw it all, the teller ducking down, the gun explode. Like an old bronze statue, you were frozen there in place. One man slumped on the counter while the other filled a pillowcase. And suddenly your feet were running rain all in your face. Across the street, the ringing bell, the door, the engine roar. Floor, the teller reaching out his hand, and you felt his pulse. You called for help, you tried to stop the bleeding. And sirens on the boulevard, a rush of blue motion, like a wave came on, their weapons drawn, the teller's soul just leaving. And you tried to tell the truth. The pillowcase, the getaway, the car, the blood, and you. In your older brother's coat, your stocking hat, and worn-out shoes. But to them, you were just some punk kid cracked out and skipping school. An anger like a freighter pulling punches in your head. And you tried to push your way past all the uniforms and the dead man, but they pulled you to the ground, your face pressed on the wet cement. Like an animal spread eagle, the umbrella in your waistband. And guns, somebody cried, and you kicked your legs and broke the window in a chaos of confusion, raining glass like diamonds loosed, and you were on your feet again. And then a bullet danced right through you, and the ground came up like some great flood, and then you were not moving. Thank you. keeping to yourself. And the rain came down like diamonds on the sidewalk where you fell. And nothing in the headlines even mentioned you at all. Just a corner note about a cracked out kid who broke the law.
I'll play a hopeful song for you. This is a song about change, I think. Kind of about how much more power we have than we think to kind of work toward things. If we set our minds to it, it's maybe a song to remind myself that.
You came in like a roll of thunder, trying to change the shape of love, looking for somebody to believe in you for once. How'd the world get so confusing? How'd the ache inside your chest go from something beautiful to something dangerous? But now I guess the rain is coming, and it'll rain like hell. But nothing ever changes till you ring the bell. And lit up like a firecracker, you've been burning out for years. Nothing left but ruined plastic shells and helpless tears. Now, once you were a brilliant flash, a crash of silver light. Don't forget the way you felt, all hungry and alive. But now I guess the rain is coming, and it'll rain like hell. But nothing ever changes, nothing ever changes, nothing ever changes till you ring the bell. Ooh. And I know you're a crazy dreamer, I know that you still believe something good is just beyond the darkness of this dream. And time will tell a softer story, how you climbed above the wire, held that hammer high above and made the damn thing chime. But now I guess the rain is coming, and it'll rain like hell. But nothing ever changes, nothing ever changes, nothing ever changes, nothing ever changes, nothing ever changes till you ring.
Really nice here. I'm in Portland, Oregon. Today it's about 75 degrees, and I'm gonna play a love song for you.
Sometimes I act like a clown, in bright colored makeup to hide my mistakes and the fear that you'll figure me out. The deep purple sadness that washes my eyelids. I lift them up, try and look at you now. With love on my fingers, I move to deliver the powerful thing that I felt. I love you, don't worry, it's just temporary. My back turned against you. A magnetic heat, it released all my demons. I dream that my dreams are on fire. The cool of your breath pulling in pulls me back. I uncurl like a flower in the yellow in light. Your eyes slowly open to bluebirds arriving. Land on the branch of my mind. I love you, forgive me, my soup. Is empty. I lost all the things that I am. Like kissing you tenderly right off the highway, the back of a gold Astro van. The best that I have are all things that you gave me. I'll find a way, baby, to give them all back. The sky up above and the kindness of love and the truth, even when it hurts bad.
That's a song, the last two actually are on a brand new record I made in February that will come out at some point. I hope you guys are hanging in there in your worlds. Feels like everybody's so far apart right now and also so connected by this shared thing that's happening, which is so crazy to have something that everybody's going through at the same time in different ways. I'm gonna play a rap song for you. The closest I'll ever get to a rap song. Two quarters in my hand, nothing else in my pocket. I'm a wild horse pawn at the cracked dead earth. Stoplight turning and a long white Lincoln goes screaming by the baseline lingers. It's hot as the devil, the rubber and the metal black. Smell of something burning. I never did wrong, I never did gamble till the day you called me worthless. In my hand, nothing else in my pocket. I'm a fuse box sparking in the summer grass. I'm a hooded figure, a crazy killer. I'm a dead man walking on the overpass. It's hot as the devil, the asphalt melting, the sweat, wet smell of danger. I never did wrong, I never was tempted till the day you named my anger. Thank you.
Two quarters in my hand, nothing else in my pocket. I'm a countdown rocket in a cloud of smoke. My fists are clenched, my whole body tense. My mouth screwed up, my eyes half closed. It's hot as the devil, a screaming kettle, the baseline slowly burning. I never did wrong, I was kind and careful till the day you called me worthless.
Let's see. I'll play you a song about how we're all going through this thing together by ourselves. Okay, this one's called All Together Alone.
Silence descending, last note of neon, still melting the ice in the glass. Turn the key over and pocket $3 in quarters. They might be your last. But don't be afraid as you walk in, away in a quiet like you've never known. Everything's changing and all of these strangers are all together. Call up your brother and tell him you wanted to be there the last time he flew to visit the family, but you were still angry, and man, you'd go back if you could. But don't be afraid, you've got so much to say, and he'll stay like a friend on the phone. Everything's changed, and all that remains is we're all together alone. All together alone. Ooh. And lay on the car, alive in the darkness, an animal starting to dream. And this won't be easy, a catch in the heartbeat of everyone trying to breathe. But don't be afraid, there's a feeling of safety in knowing your struggle is known. Everything's changing and all of these strangers are all together alone. Everything's changing and all of these strangers are all together alone. All together alone.
What else can I play for you guys? I'll play you this love song.
Paper sits upon the step, the messenger already gone. And Lillian sits next to it and looks across the coming dawn. The type is bold enough to read, for eyes so tired and set with time. And Lillian cannot believe the photograph in bold headline. Thank you. leaves the step and lights the stove. She eats the kettle, cracks the eggs. And from the porch the paper blows. It lifts and weaves and floats away. And Lillian, she smooths her hair. She sits to rest her aching feet. And up the old and oaken stairs, Martha stirs and leaves a dream. She reaches out across the bed and finds the sheets are tucked and cold. She calls aloud for Lillian. Her heart, it beats and strains and slows. And Lillian, she climbs the stairs. She hears her Martha's ragged breath. She lies beside her, calms her fear. It's all right, darling, you can rest. And long they lay there side by side. The breath of two becomes the one. And down the street the photo flies of Martha and of Lillian. Now the town it slowly wakes, unrolls the paper, sits to read. The news it travels across the state of hearts that struggle to be free. And from the front in love and tears, Lillian and Martha wave. The courthouse after 50 years on their long-awaited wedding day. Beyond the step the day begins. The heat it rises from the road. And down the stair comes Lillian. A promise kept, a band of gold.
Alright. I'll play you this Simon and Garfunkel song. Sing along if you know it.
I'm just a poor boy, though my story's seldom told. I've squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies in jest. Still a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. When I left my home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway station, running scared, laying low, seeking out the poor quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. Asking only workmen's wages, I come looking for a job, but I get no offers. Just a come on from the whores on 7th Avenue. I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome I took some comfort there. Wishing I was gone, going home, where where the New York City winters aren't bleeding me. Bleeding me, going home. In the clearing stands a boxer and a fighter by his trade, and he carries a reminder for every glove that laid him down or cut him, till he cried out in his anger and his pain, I'm leaving, I'm leaving. But the fighter still remains.
So much. See you in the real world sometime soon, I hope.
That was Anna Tivell from her home in Portland, Oregon, one of a series of stream shows on the Mountain Spirit Acoustic Series Facebook page. This is Scenic Roots on WUTC.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.